Hello, it's Tuesday, November 29th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. Today on our show, we have a guest, Miss Amy Summer, and she recently released a documentary called Mama Mama, Mother's Medicine and Madness. And I'll tell you, this documentary blew us away. Before we bring Amy on, we also want to let you know a little bit about her. She was an associate producer for A Current Affair. She also did the video Waco, The Rules of Engagement, which we've not only seen here, but we have in our library. She's also co-executive producer for a show called Unprecedented, the 2000 presidential election, which looked into Florida voting irregularities. And she's also been associated with quite a number of other films and projects. So we'd like to bring on Amy Summer. How you doing, Amy?
Hi, thank you. I hope I can live up to that lovely introduction. Thank you so much.
Well, we were very, very impressed with your video. And before we get started, why don't you let everyone know the website address where they can find this and find out more information about it.
Our website is munchausenmovie.com.
And that's M-U-N-C-H-A-U-S-E-N, right?
Right.
Okay, and we'll have this at, we'll put this up on the Wing TV homepage also so everyone can find it. Now, to get started, I think we should let everyone know what Munchausen syndrome is. And the first time I'd ever heard of it was in association with the Spanish painter Frida Kahlo. And supposedly, she hurt herself quite a number of times through her life so that she could receive medical attention. So, Amy, tell everyone who doesn't know, what is Munchausen syndrome and also Munchausen syndrome by proxy?
Munchausen syndrome, or factitious disorder syndrome, as it sometimes is referred to, is a syndrome when people hurt themselves in order to get attention from the medical community, and attention being the caretaking, the pity of the community, the attention, the sort of pass on everyday responsibility, praise and caring. Munchausen syndrome by proxy is when one does it with a proxy, a child, and gets the sympathy and empathy and care and attention via the child of, oh, you're, and usually it's a mother, so usually it's, oh, you poor mother, you're working so hard, how do you put up with it, blah, blah, blah.
Amy, this diagnosis of Munchausen syndrome by proxy is very controversial, and there are a lot of doctors and professionals actually disputing and debating it, everything about it, including its name. They seem to be trying to vie for top expert status in the field on this, yet neither the American Medical Association nor the American Psychiatric Association even recognizes Munchausen syndrome. Why?
Because if you look in the DSM where it's listed, the indices are so contradictory that you'd almost have to be schizophrenic in order to fulfill everything. Because one is that, you know, women overemphasize and are overly dramatic about the child's symptoms and are hyper-worried. And yet another symptom on the same list is that parents are very calm in the face of medical procedures.
Right.
And all of us wax and wane, but I don't know people who can go from those extremes. And so it's very hard to define. And I think a lot of times it's used as a catch-all diagnosis when we don't know what's really wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Now, as you point out, babies have been removed from their mother's custody with the excuse being that they were abused via this Munchausen syndrome. So let me ask you, when this act was committed, what justification did child services and or the medical community have to remove these children from the mother's custody?
Usually it starts with a medical procedure visit, and the doctor or the hospital calls into the Department of Social Services. And usually it is the kid is sick, they go for tests, they go for treatment, nothing works, and everybody is confounded as to what's really wrong with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they start going, wait a second, the mother must be injuring the kid. Ergo, if we take the kid away from the mother, the symptoms will miraculously disappear. Now, sometimes they do. I don't want to say, and no one in the film says, that child abuse sadly does exist, and it exists in a lot of areas. And we don't want to dispute that. The problem is the sort of witch hunt and pointing at the mothers, I think, makes a whole new class of victims. For example, the sick child who has something that's hard to diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going through further testing and looking for a real physical reason, we just rip them apart and rip the families apart. And then the whole system is going through and fighting if they don't have the money or the strength.
In many of these cases, the charges are made based upon the expert testimony of so-called professionals or the label by professionals who have not even examined the child or even met the parents in person. So since the diagnosis relies on basically a parent's demeanor or emotions during a crisis, like a child being sick or injured, is this adequate enough to make this diagnosis? And are these people even qualified to do so?
My initial response is absolutely not, and I think it's absurd to ruin families when you don't know the family and when you haven't looked at all the records or met them. Because I don't care how expert one is, there's that certain thing you get from meeting and seeing the family dynamic and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to talk more loudly than the other, so maybe someone who's more quiet would think I was screaming all the time. You know, it's such a subjective judgment. What's really frightening, and I think they go overboard in trying to remove the children because there are so many horror stories. They get so much, there are not that many, but there are the horror stories where a child is not visited by the Department of Social Services and is in fact being abused, and then the child is severely injured or dies. There's a lot of hoopla, as there should be, because no child should die. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
However, I think that there is this jumping to conclusions when there is no easy or semi-easy or not too difficult answer to find. And so we want to blame and we want to have a cause and effect. And it's incredibly frustrating for everybody around.
Yeah.
I mean, as a child, I was a severe asthmatic. So I was very easy. I would go in the emergency room, I'd be blue, and I'd come out pink, and everybody felt good about what they were doing with their lives because I, you know, came in sounding like Darth Vader, and I left relatively healthy.
Uh-huh.
And there's a great satisfaction in that. And heaven knows I was incredibly satisfied, too, as were my parents. But there are children who, it's so frustrating. After years of medical training, I can't imagine what it's like to have a child just get sicker and sicker and not know what the devil is wrong with them.
Yeah. Well, one of the cases you bring up is that of Misty Jones. And the medical authority said that she was injecting her child with insulin shots, and the result was that all access to her two-year-old daughter was terminated, and she was given over to foster care. Now, worse than that, when Misty became pregnant again, 4.5 weeks before she was due to deliver, she was actually handcuffed, taken into custody, and when she was brought to the hospital, she was induced to deliver her child early. What? Tell people how they can justify doing this to this woman.
And they took it away from her, didn't they?
Right.
And it planned it, and that's what it starts to really throw the American concept of justice of presumed innocent on its head. When they took this woman, and they made another victim because they delivered the child prematurely when there was no biological, physical reason to do so. There was just the court order. And they presumed Misty was guilty. They presumed she would do what she'd supposedly done to the first child to the second. When in the film and on the site at MunchausenMovie.com, we have more information about it. And we did some tests and did some interesting research where we're not even sure that Brittany really did have what they claimed.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first child. So it's very, the presumption of guilt, the ease with which you can blame a parent who you might find as different or as unusual or someone who's, you know, Misty was told, because she was young at the time, she was 17, oh, you're young, you're being overly worried. Oh, you're young, you don't know any better. And we buy into the stereotypes as opposed to investigating the case.
Right. Well,
that's what's really frightening, and that's why these people have justice denied them, and that's not the American way.
Right, because this diagnosis is based upon theory and not upon objective scientific evidence, which brings me to this. Your investigation found that in many cases, the illnesses of the children were being caused by side effects of toxic drugs called neuroleptics, and that many of these families reported that their children were taking one or more of these neuroleptic drugs that are not supposed to be prescribed for infants. Explain this.
Neuroleptic is their form of these kids who had it, they had something called GERD, which is gastroesophageal reflux disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably pronounced differently even after years of research, I apologize. However, what it is it's a place where kids just spit up a lot and throw up a lot. And
right.
They end up being at the lower end of the weight scale, and people worry that they're not getting enough nutrition and that they're not going to thrive.
Right. Right, my son had that.
You had a very messy early life, I know, because, well, I know, right, I digress. So, they throw up a lot and everybody's worried. And what they do is they treat that with drugs. They stop throwing up so much.
Yeah.
Those drugs fall into a class of neuroleptic, which in our film, Peter Brecken explains very well by saying it's like rats and neurons. So what they, Thorazine is in the same class, although these drugs are not as strong.
Well, let me jump in here. There's let's get into some specifics. There's these toxic drugs called sisapride and also metoclopramide. I hope I'm saying those right. And these have never been approved for pediatric use, yet they're being used on children, aren't they?
Very much, and they come with a black box warning. And what's frightening is they're used on children for when they're not approved, and they're used for longer periods of time than they're even approved of for adults.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have to apologize because sometimes I get into too much detail because we've been living with this subject myself and our terrific writer-director, Nani de la Peña, who did the Yeoman part of the research.
Many of these cases are actually falsely they're misdiagnosed, and it could be from over-medification of infants by doctors making a wrong diagnosis, correct?
Very much so, because these kids will have all these neurological symptoms that the parents will describe and that people will see. And even when they do a test, they do an EEG, these kids have normal brain waves, and so there's a contradiction. And because they're pediatric gastroenterologists, are the ones treating the kids, they aren't as familiar with them as the psychiatrists and psychopharmacologists who, because of Thorazine and all the antipsychotic drugs, have a much longer history with it. So there are several horrible slippery slopes that lead to this injustice.
Right. Well, there's another infant named Philip Patrick who died, and he's been described, and this is a quote, as a horrifying death as a medical hostage at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital in Nashville, yet the doctor only knew this patient for less than 30 minutes before he made a diagnosis. Tell us a little bit more about this case.
Well, that's actually, it's Julie and Mark Patrick's son, Philip.
Uh-huh.
And Julie founded MAMA, which is half of our title, which stands for Mothers Against Munchausen Accusations. And Philip was kept, they got a court order to keep Julie away from his crib side in the final stages of his life. And so he did die alone. And he was born with a lot of problems. But there's a case that Patrick has made it, and those records seem to support it, that they were worsened by some of the medication he got.
Mm-hmm.
One of the professionals that figures prominently in your film is Sir Roy Meadow. He's a medical professional who, I guess, he invented the label, the name Munchausen syndrome by proxy. And he says, one baby death in a family is a tragedy. Two is suspicious. Three is murder unless proven otherwise. Now, I'd like to ask you this. This man has been involved in an estimated 5,000 child protection order cases, giving expert testimony over the past 15 years. Is he paid to give this testimony?
Yes.
Okay, now, he's also been involved in some court proceedings where his cases are actually being reviewed because it's been found that parents have been falsely accused and they have, many of them, been exonerated. What's going on with Sir Roy Meadow?
Sir Roy, in a 1977 paper, called The Kings and Lands of Child Abuse, coined the phrase and started it. And since then, he's a very prominent physician in England. Recently, there's a big case of Sally Clark, and she was well off. It had very good barristers and solicitors, and it turned out that a quote he gave in his testimony, similar to what you just said, turned out to have no research behind it. So that opened up the floodgates, and it started an investigation, and it found that his research was sloppy at best. And I'm trying to withhold the expletives. it was just awful. And so what he would do is he would go in as the expert. He's the sir. And Sir Roy would say it, and he was viewed with such authority that people believed it. Lo and behold, now that they're investigating a lot of the cases, there have been women who have been exonerated.
Let me ask you this. In your opinion, based upon your experience in investigation, are children being taken away from their parents for drug experimentation, and what's the role of the pharmaceutical companies with these neuroleptic drugs?
It's hard because I think there, again, I wish it were simple and black and white and I could say everything was bad. I do think that the drugs being given to children without approval is just a revolting grasp at more profits. And I understand that all companies need to make money. And I, as a severe asthmatic, am incredibly grateful to drug companies for coming out with terrific new drugs for asthma. But on the other hand, is it worth endangering lives and families and doctors' careers and the whole slippery slope that goes down just in pursuit of more sales of a drug?
Right.
And I say the answer is no.
Well, Amy, it seems like
that the courts have said that too, when Janssen metoclopramide has been cisapride has been taken off the market.
Yeah. Well, it seems like from your documentary, all of the mothers that have been targeted are on the lower socioeconomic scale. So when all of this happens, they don't really have the means or the resources to fight back against the system. So this makes it a lot easier for the authorities to take these children and then do with them what they will, isn't it?
Very much so. I think that because in most of the cases are heard in the child courts and the juvenile courts, which are all sealed. And so you have people who don't have the wherewithal to build up their army. And they're fighting a system that is stacked against them because the system has access to every expert they could want. And I think it's unfair and it stacks the deck against parents being given the benefit of the doubt. And again, child abuse occurs. It's a wretched thing. But we shouldn't make it more abusive by creating new victims when there weren't any there.
Right. I mean, they take an oath to do no further harm. A report by Harvard School of Public Health stated that 180,000 Americans die every year as a result of medically induced injury or negligence. And I've seen cases of this myself in the past as a respiratory student. Is there any correlation between this figure of 180,000 medically induced injuries and the surge of Munchausen syndrome by proxy reports coming out every year?
Huh. That's an interesting question.
I mean, are they trying to avoid medical malpractice suits?
I think there's a big argument for that. I think that there's so many arguments and everything is speculation. The problem is, on a death certificate, you're not going to put Munchausen syndrome by proxy. So
right, you have to have a specific cause of death.
Pardon me?
You need to have a specific cause of death on a death certificate.
Exactly. So it's hard to go and do that sort of research. So that's why I want to hedge all of my answers. I do see an increase in a litigious society and people very anxious for protective measures. And it's very easy to blame the mother when you believe, when you spent years of studying medicine and you believe you have the answers and you have so much to do and you can't save a child.
Yeah. Now, Amy, before we wrap this up, and I have to tell everybody out there, when we watch this video, there's some hard-hitting stuff in this film that it's a must-watch. If you have any suspicions of the American Medical Association or Child Service and some of the things they do, but before we continue, tell everyone again how they can find this video and how they can find your website.
Well, our website is munchausenmovie.com, munchausenmovie.com.
Okay, very good. And there's also links to different articles and organizations on that site, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Let's close it out by leaving you with these thoughts. One measure of a civilized society is the instinct to protect and defend our children. It's also instinctive to presume guilt, especially when the accused must prove a negative that what he or she is accused of didn't actually happen. When the accuser is a physician with solid credentials, it becomes even more difficult to challenge them. Countless criminal convictions have been brought against parents, daycare providers, teachers, and neighbors, even when the charges are not supported by objective scientific evidence or physical evidence. So we have many people being convicted and childhoods ruined, families destroyed, based upon presumption of guilt and so-called expert testimony alone. So if we really value our children, then we need to protect them and we need to not repeat these miscarriages of justice and we need to hold these professionals accountable. And if we don't, history is going to keep repeating itself.
I think that you're very sadly, I think you're absolutely dead on. And I think that all of us look for easy answers. I think it's human nature. I just don't think in these cases that the easy answers are the right ones. And
yeah.
I think we have to try a little harder. And if we really do have family values, really stick to them and show that we do in our politics and in our medical care.
Yeah. And what do you think, if you had to tie it all up, what do you think the bottom line is? If someone asked you, Amy, why is this Munchausen by proxy taking place? What is the ultimate motive behind it? What would your answer be?
Oh, my gosh. One answer. It's a complicated issue. I'll give myself some flack that way. And I don't think there is. It's very hard to wrap up. I think that's why the mainstream media hasn't been covering this and why I'm so grateful to you. Because it's very hard to soundbite it.
Uh-huh.
I think that the problem is, first of all, as a society, in my opinion, we over-medicate. Just because a kid is spitting up and you have to wash your clothes and their clothes
right.
a lot more, and they're thin and they're, you know, underweight, doesn't mean that there's a problem.
What do you just say to parents, Amy, who try to advocate for their children?
Well, that's what's frustrating, too, and I know there's been a lot of press about school districts saying that, no, if you don't give your kid Ritalin, we're not letting them back.
Right.
There's all this sort of drug pushing, and you wonder why kids do drugs when they're adolescents. Well, we've been giving it to them since they were babies.
Right, exactly. They think it's acceptable.
Yeah.
And I think that's really wrong. I think that don't give the kid drugs. Modern medicine has saved a lot of lives, and it's a great thing. However, let's not let it get too corporatized and try to make more money for them. I'm all for people making money. I'm all for everybody having, you know, doing the right thing and funding more research. However, I don't think going after profits at the expense of a child or a family is worth it.
Well, Amy,
thanks. I don't know how to get that logic through to people who seem far more obsessed with a quarterly report.
Right, right. Well,
and,
Amy,
you know, and these drugs, by the way, in severe cases where you have a kid who's going to die because they just can't hold anything down,
right.
That makes a lot of sense. But they should analyze the side effects and consult with all these specialties. We have so much, so many brilliant minds. We just have to get them to talk to each other.
Right. Well, Amy, thanks for coming on Wing TV today. The name of the documentary is Mama Mama, Mother's Medicine and Madness. It can be found at www.munchausenmovie.com. And we just have to tell you, you made a wonderful documentary here, and it was
very
enlightening.
Very disturbing, but it's something we all need to look at because it's happening all over. It's happening not only in the UK, but it's happening in the United States as well.
Sadly, yes, and in Australia and New Zealand, and mm-hmm. I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Amy. We'll be back tomorrow on Wing Radio. We're going to talk about the James Bramford article about the Rendon Group, and this is very eye-opening also. Until then, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
See you then.